fine.
So it's a very odd time to be alive, as they say.
The Wire.
Welcome back. You're tuned into The Wire on 95 BFM. Let us know your thoughts on any of our pieces today. Text in on 35395. As many as 50,000 Kaiako and Tumuaki teachers and principals will go on strike tomorrow for better conditions and to improve public education for Tamariki. This is the education sector's biggest industrial action since 2019. Most schools in Kura will close on Thursday due to the strikes, and nationwide protest marches are planned. The strikes have been organised by the New Zealand Educational Institute, who represent primary and kindergarten teachers, and the Post-Primary Teachers Association, who represent secondary school teachers, as well as principals for both of those unions. First, I spoke to Mark Potter, the president of NZEI. I started off our interview discussing why kindergarten and primary teachers are striking.
The reason that kindergarten teachers, primary school teachers, primary school principals are striking is that we've got a deteriorating situation of employment where the pay for these groups is not keeping up with professionals of similar levels. Also, the conditions that they work under are not improving. In fact, if anything, it's getting more difficult to do those jobs. So what we're doing is we're striking to make a very firm point. We've had a couple of offers that have not gone near what we're asking. So now we're striking to really make the point that we are united and we do need significant change, but we also need the government to come and help us with this.
What concerns do you currently have about the quality of education for Tamariki?
Teachers in kindergartens and primary schools and the principals are doing an outstanding job, but it's very difficult to do that job because they don't have the time or the resourcing to do the job that's being asked of them. So we have a country, we're blessed with an excellent teaching profession, but that profession is under pressure and under stress. So if it isn't, doesn't have these asks addressed, we are going to start to struggle to attract teachers, to retain teachers, and by that, not be able to provide the quality education that our children do need.
One issue that's been brought up for primary teachers is growing classroom sizes. Can you tell us about the implications that this is having on both students and teachers?
Well, the situation where class sizes are too large is not a good situation for the children or the teachers. And it can be that sometimes schools make financial decisions which result in more children being in classrooms to try and make the staffing available to schools go further. Now, the more children a teacher has, the less capacity that teacher has to meet everyone's individual needs. And we have a growing expectation on teachers that they individualise and tailor learning more and more. Yet that increasing expectation isn't being met with a lowering of the ratio in the classroom. So the lower the ratio, so the less children they have to cover, the more they can do for the children. Across the teaching sector, each sector is not funded the same as far as teaching supply goes. So there needs to be some fairness in how that goes as to which, so that all teachers have very similar class numbers to address the needs of children.
Kindergarten teachers are saying that their sick leave allowance is currently inadequate. How much sick leave are kindergarten teachers currently getting and how much do they need?
Kindergarten teachers are currently getting the bare minimum of sick leave that they would be entitled to by law. That's just not enough for a workforce that is highly susceptible and vulnerable to increased illness through exposure to many, many children, many of whom are very good at their personal hygiene. So it's just not good enough that they are carrying the extra vulnerability with less than other teaching groups have. So they need better sick leave, better access. They shouldn't be paying the price of that risk in their job.
What can you tell us about what will be happening on Thursday, specifically here in Tamaki Makaurau?
So around the country there'll be various activities being organised by the groups of teachers and principals in those areas. In Auckland there is going to be a big march tomorrow. I'll be there for that, so that will be quite exciting. and I understand we'll be marching on Queen Street and then gathering to discuss and share the main issues at Point and to make it clear to everyone that there is a very large workforce here that is asking for help.
The strike action, not only primary and kindergarten teachers are participating and principals, but also secondary schools. So what do you think this round of industrial action being so large is saying to the government?
Well, it's a very good point to look at how big this industrial action is. To have so many different groups of educators involved is showing how broad the challenges and issues are in education. What we've got is successive governments that have not invested enough in the education, in the teachers, in the resources that they need, the principals, the kindergartens. That has to change. The investment in education is just as important as the investment in roads, bridges, and infrastructure. There's overwhelming evidence, including international surveys, that show that New Zealand teachers carry the biggest, heaviest workload of teaching in the world. So if we are asking so much of them, we need to put forward the resources to make sure they can do it. There are other areas that don't have that same workload, but that's because their teachers are given far more time, far more colleagues to work with, far more resources to actually implement. We need to make that change here, and that's when we'll have an excellent education system for our children.
Next, I spoke to the acting president of the Post-Primary Teachers Association, Chris Abercrombie. To begin, I asked about why secondary staff in particular are striking.
Teachers are striking because we've been in bargaining almost a year now with no real progress from the ministry, and so this is definitely a last resort to try and shift the government's offer into something that meets the needs of the sector.
And what are your calls to action for this particular industrial action?
So there's two aspects to it, but it's all about really recruitment and retention. We want to recruit teachers into the profession, so be it graduates, newly minted graduates, be it people coming in for second career, or be it ex-teachers coming back into the system. But we also want to retain the teachers we have. You know, there's an international shortage of secondary teachers. There's a lot of options out there for them. It's a fantastic job. I love being a teacher. I've been doing it almost 20 years. But we also need to be able to pay the bills. And so there's a pay component to it and a condition component to it for our recruitment and retention.
Why is it so crucial for the government to prioritise retaining and recruiting teachers, experienced ones in particular?
Well, at the moment, there's no guarantee that you're going to have a subject qualified teacher in front of you at school, in secondary school. So your physics teacher might not be a physics teacher, your history teacher might not be a history teacher. And so what we want to do is we want to guarantee that the future students of New Zealand, the current students we have and the future students we have a qualified teacher, subject qualified teacher in front of them. And at the moment it's not guaranteed. You know, 3/4 of Auckland secondary schools started without their full complement of teachers this year. And so that's just not acceptable in Aotearoa New Zealand. So we definitely want to make sure that we can fix those issues.
One of your calls to action is to increase guidance for staff to deal with the increasing amount of students struggling with mental health. So what support would you like to see in this area?
So at the moment, well, what we're fighting for is a ratio of 1 to 400. So one guidance counsellor to 400 students. At the moment, that's not guaranteed in schools. You know, I've heard of cases of one guidance counsellor to 1,000 students. And we know that our young people are increasingly coming into our schools with complex needs, be it mental health needs, be it social needs, be it whatever, learning needs. And so be having that guidance there available, that guidance counsellor there available to support them and support the school and support teachers so that student can be the best they can be.
What other concerns do you have about the current state of public education and its impact on rangatahi in Aotearoa?
So one of our claims is actually, we call it our cultural competency claim. We know that our Māori and Pacifica colleagues are put under extraordinary pressure to be experts in their culture and help the school system move forward, you know, in its cultural competencies. We want to recognise that expertise. You know, we want the time and money given to those, our colleagues, who we expect so much from, you know, and upskilling culturally in our schools is absolutely vital to be able to support all our rangatahi to be the best they can be, you know. And we also want an increase in what's called the Māori Immersion Teacher Allowance, you know. So we know being fluent in Te Reo is a great, is a skill and is a desirable skill. So there's lots of opportunities for people who are fluent. And so we want them to look at education, teaching as a first choice for those people who are fluent in Te Reo.
Can you tell me a bit about how the current conditions faced by teachers and principals are affecting their mental and physical well-being?
So we know burnout's increasing. We know people are, you know, working every hour under the sun to try and meet the needs of their students in front of them. And it's just, it's not sustainable. And it's not just the workload at school. I've heard, you know, I've heard stories of colleagues who are working night jobs and then coming and teaching all day. And that's not fair on them, and it's not fair on the kids in front of them to be able to do that. So it's about making sure we're meeting the needs of not just our teachers, but also our learners, so our teachers can teach them. That's the key thing.
And this is the most significant industrial action for this sector since 2019, and it is so widespread across multiple levels of education. What do you think this action signifies to the government or to the country about the current state of public education?
I think it sends a really clear message that, that we're absolutely in a crisis. You know, we're in a staffing crisis, we're in an educational crisis, and this is about making the government listen to us, making sure they hear what we're saying, because teachers don't take this lightly. Teachers became teachers to teach. It really is that straightforward. And so this is about making sure that we can meet the needs of the learners in front of us, and we have a sustainable education sector, not just now, but 10, 20, 30 years in the future.
And what can you tell us about what will be happening on Thursday, specifically here in Tāmaki Makaurau?
So in Tāmaki Makaurau, there will be a march from Fort Street up to Albert Park, and where there'll be speeches and a rally there. So that'll be the main action there in Tāmaki Makaurau.
Lastly, I spoke to Maddie, an intermediate teacher, about why she is striking. I started by asking Maddie about her background in teaching.
So I've been teaching since 2017, mostly with like 11 and 12 year olds. So I started off teaching year 7 and 8, and then I actually moved to Japan for a couple of years and taught English, and since I've got back I've been teaching mostly year 7.
And with the recent strikes happening this Thursday, why did you personally decide to participate in this?
I just think it's really important to show unity as a group and show that we don't think the government's offer to teachers is acceptable.
What are your main concerns about the current state of education, public education in Aotearoa?
Probably a few different things. Well, one of them would be the lack of support for teachers in the classroom. We're seeing more and more kids come through with a variety of different learning and behavioural needs. And I'm one of the lucky teachers in that I get about 4 hours of teacher aid time a week. And it's sad that that makes me one of the lucky ones. And that's I've got at least 4 kids in my class with diagnosed things that they need extra support with. And a lot of teachers, especially in primary schools, aren't getting any teacher aid time. And when you're dealing with a class of sometimes 30 or more children, it's really difficult to support all of those kids without any extra help in the classroom.
Yeah, and growing classroom sizes have been a really big issue for primary teachers. What sort of implications have you seen these larger class sizes have on students as well as teachers?
Yeah, so I think those growing class sizes, it just makes it so much harder to make sure all your students are getting the support that they need. So like the biggest class I've ever taught, I had 33 students in that class. And at that point, it's so difficult to just manage the behaviour in the class, let alone make sure all the kids are getting adequate amounts of learning. And yeah, I definitely think it leads to teachers feeling more burnt out when they're having to not just have that in the classroom, but every extra kid, that's extra paperwork you're having to do, extra reports you're having to write, extra assessments you're having to do, especially if you're having to do one-on-one assessments with the kids. Like, it just takes up more and more time.
How have these conditions affected your own mental or physical health?
Oh, that's a good question. I definitely think, especially before I kind of took a few years out to move to Japan, I was feeling quite burnt out about the state of teaching. And at that point, I was only 3 years into my teaching career. Yeah, especially new teachers, it burns them out really quickly having to deal with all of that stuff. And especially in primary school, I've been quite lucky since I moved back to New Zealand. The school I'm working at, it's a little bit different. So I'm teaching year seven, but the school I'm working at goes from year seven up. So I'm employed under the secondary teachers collective, which means I get 5 hours of non-contact time a week. And that makes such a big difference. Primary school teachers only get 10 hours of non-contact across a whole term.
As a secondary teacher, one of the calls that the union representing secondary teachers is calling for is increased mental health support to help teachers deal with the range of mental health issues and challenges that students are facing. And has this been something that's kind of overwhelmed you or other teachers that you've talked to?
Yeah, not me personally, but I know some teachers who have really struggled with their mental health, and kind of the workloads and expectations of teaching has had really negative effects on that. And it's also one of those things where, like, I don't know any teacher who doesn't really care about the kids in their classroom. And so when you're seeing those kids come through with, like, some of them have some quite, like, traumatic stuff in their backgrounds, and you're helping support them through that, and, like, that takes its toll on you as well.
Have you ever considered leaving the profession at any point because of the conditions?
Personally, I haven't considered leaving teaching as a whole, just because, like, it is a job that I really love doing. However, I've definitely considered moving outside of New Zealand to continue my teaching career, just because I don't think the conditions in New Zealand make it feasible for me to stay here and keep teaching and still have the kind of life that I would like to have.
And what has the support from parents and students been like toward this particular strike action that's planned?
Most of the parents that I've talked to have been pretty supportive of it. Like, I think most parents, fortunately, do understand that, like, it's a tough job, and they do think we deserve better pay and better in-class support. And it's that thing as well of, like, parents want high-quality teachers in classrooms. And I think especially after COVID and having to do home learning, a lot of them have a better appreciation of how tough the job is. And so they do tend to understand that, like, in order to get those high quality teachers and retain them in classrooms, the things that teachers are asking for, like, are necessary.
And what is your hope out of this, from the strike action? What would you like to see changed going forward?
Just hopefully that the government will more take on board what teachers are actually asking for and be more open to putting that on the table, because yeah, at the moment, what they're offering is just so far below what is necessary.
And that was Mark Potter, president of the New Zealand Education Institute, Chris Abercrombie, acting president of the Post-Primary Teachers Association, and Maddie, an intermediate teacher, talking to us about school staff's decision to strike this Thursday. And we'll be back after this short break. Next up is Already from Karu and Dylan Biscuit. And keep it on the beat.